Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Chet Amud Aleph, 14 lines down. The Gemara here is continuing to discuss the machloket about whether Tuma Hutra B'Tzibor or Tuma Duchuya B'Tzibor. We just established that is the machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in yesterday's daf. The Rabbi Yehuda says Tuma Hutra B'Tzibor, and Rabbi Shimon says that it's Tuma Duchuya B'Tzibor. And now the Gemara suggests, Neima Hani Tana'e, Kehani Tana'e. Let us say that this machloket Tanaim, which we're about to bring from the Braita, is similar to the machloket Tanaim that we saw between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Detanyo, we have a Braita, or really Detanan, because it's also found in the Mishnah in Parah, which is Echadze Mazin Alav Kol Shiv'a, that whether it's talking about the Kohen Gadol prior to Yom HaKippurim, or the Kohen that is doing the Sveifata Parah, Mazin Alav Kol Shiv'a, Mikochat O Shayu Sham Divi Rabbi Meir. We do hazah on him all 7 days that he is sequestered. That's both for the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur as well as for the one doing the parah. From all the chatot that are there, we saw that interpretation before, whether that means all the chatot that were done until that point in time, or also from the chatat of Moshe Rabbeinu that they stored over there. But they do all of these hazahot on him for all of the 7 days. Rabbi Yossi Omer, in mazin alav el shlishi vishvi bilvat. We only sprinkle him on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim Omer, Kohen Asareifat HaParah, Mazin Alav Kol Shiva. When it comes to the Kohen that is sequestered for doing the Sareifat HaParah, there we do it for all 7 days. Kohen Gadol be Yom HaKippurim, but the sequestering of the Kohen Gadol prior to Yom HaKippurim, Ein Mazin Alav El Shlishi B'Shvi. Then we only do it on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. My love, B'Hakam Miflegei. This is the machlok between them. Rabbi Meir Sever, Tumah Duchuya Hi B'Tzibur. Tumah Duchuya B'Tzibur. Therefore, we do it every single day. We want to make sure, absolutely sure, that he doesn't have any Tumah Tameit. Therefore, we sprinkle on him all of the 7 days. That's both for the Kohen Gadol before Yom HaKippurim, as well as the Kohen before the Sreifat HaParah. Riosi Sevar Tumah Heteri B'Tzibur. And Riosi holds Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, and therefore only requires on the 3rd and the 7th. And the Gemara says, Tizbara? What type of explanation is that? Is Sevar Riosi Heteri B'Tzibur? If Riosi really believes that it's Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, Hazak Alal Lamali. Why do you need Hazak at all? Meaning that why do you have to do it on the 3rd and the 7th? Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur says that we don't take any preventative measures. We don't worry about it whatsoever. So over here, we're not certain that the Kohen Gadol or the Kohen is Tamei Meit. We're doing it as a preventative measure. Maybe he is Tamei Meit, and therefore we sprinkle on him in order to have that milo that for sure he's Tahor going into the Avodat Yom HaKippurim or the Avodat HaParah. But that would be only true if you believe Tumah Dechuyahi B'Tzibur. Tumah Dechuyah B'Tzibur because you need to get Tahor. Now, if Rabbi Yossi believes Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, we have to take no preventative measures, we don't have to do anything. Then why you sprinkle him on the 3rd and 7th? Don't sprinkle on him whatsoever. Tosafot does ask over here, but maybe we should sprinkle on him because on Yom HaKippurim, it's not so clear that everything we do on Yom Kippur is a Korban HaTzibur. And that is because when it comes to the Korbanot of Aaron, the Korbanot Yachid of Aaron, we saw earlier, the Gemara already said that Rav Nachman, who is of the Shita, the Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, believes that those have a din of Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur because the isle of Aaron is a Korban Yachid, and therefore, despite the fact that it's Kavu Lo Zman, nevertheless, we say it's Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur belongs to the Yachid. So why don't we say the same thing over here? That even according to Rabbi Yossi, you have to do at least one sprinkling to take care of the ayo, to take care of the Korban Yachid of Aaron. Now, Aaron also has another Korban Yachid, which is the par. Although earlier on, Rashi says that the par really has a status of Korban Tzibur because it's me'akev, the ability of the Kohen Gadol to do the remainder of the Avodah. He can't do it without the par because he can't enter into the Kodesh HaKodeshim and he can't perform the entire service or say their Yom HaKippurim. So therefore the par, even though it's a Korban Yachid, possibly of Aaron, nevertheless it takes on the status of a Korban Tzibur. Whereas the ayo we saw from Rav Nachman does have a status of a Korban Yachid. So Tosafot in the end answers and says, listen, if we're talking about Duchuya versus Hutra, that's talking about if we have a real sense of Tumah here. If we know for sure there's Tumah, then we will take preventative measures, we will do things. But to sprinkle on him a chashash that maybe he was Tamei, even if you think that the ayo on Yom Kippur is Tumah Duchuya B'Tzibur, we wouldn't establish that if your underlying principle is that Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. And therefore that would not be an amakev here for Rabbi Yossi. And that's what we say. If Rabbi Yossi says Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, that means that you don't have to sprinkle whatsoever on him. Now Tosafot does ask, why are you going to Rabbi Yossi? Even if you say Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, why does that help you with the Parah Dumah? Parah Dumah is not Kviya Lo Zman. It doesn't have a fixed time. And therefore, we saw before, when it comes to something that doesn't have a fixed time, that the din is that it's not Doche Shabbat and not Doche Tumah. And it drops down to a level of Tumah Duchuyahi B'Tzibur. So again, Tosafot says that that's only true when we know for certain that there is Tumah. And truthfully, it doesn't even need to be sprinkled on the 3rd and the 7th day. We don't know about any Tumah. It's just a Ma'ilav Alma that we do by the Kohen Asareifat HaParah. Because of that, we're going to say if it's Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, do it once and that's enough. If you say Tumah Techuya B'tzibur, then maybe we're going to take extra preventative measures. So the one who holds Tumah Hutra B'tzibur and drops down to Techuya B'tzibur in these interesting cases where it's not Kvilo Zman B'tzibur, and so on and so forth, now we're not going to make it definitive. We're going to say, okay, it's only a chashash, so do it like you would do it as if it was Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, do it on the 3rd and the 7th, and not every day. Ella. So then what is the machloket between them? Dekuli alma, hanetanei, savre, tuma duchuyahi bitzibor. Everybody believes tuma duchuyahi bitzibor. Bahacho behagimiflege. This is their machloket. Rabbi Meir savar minan tvila bizmana mitzvah, that doing a tvila at the right time is a mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi savar lo minan tvila bizmana mitzvah, that when you do a tvila on time, that's not necessarily a mitzvah. You have to go to the mikveh. That's a precursor, a prerequisite for becoming tahor, but it doesn't mean that it's a mitzvah to go to the mikveh. So now, so too, Hazaah. Hazaah, we have a hekesh between the Hazaah and the mikveh. And because we have that hekesh, if you believe that Vilo Bizmana is a mitzvah, you also think Hazaah Bizmana is a mitzvah. And the other way around, if you think that Vilo Bizmana is not a mitzvah, then so too, you think Hazaah Bizmana is not a mitzvah. So that's what's happening over here. The difference between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi is whether you have to do the sprinkling on the exact day, the 3rd and the 7th day of Tumah. According to Rabbi Yossi, Vila Bizmano doesn't matter, it's just a prerequisite. Same thing here, by the sprinkling of the Parah Adumah. You want to become Tahor, you need to get sprinkled on. What day you do it on? Not so relevant, as long as you do it the way you're supposed to do it, which is on the 3rd day and the 7th day. So he says, pick, the 3rd day and the 7th day, we'll sprinkle on him, and it'll take care of any Tumah he had up until that point. On the other hand, Rabbi Meir says, wait, doing it at the right time is also important. So therefore, we're going to do it every day, just in case you become Tamei along the period coming up to there, and each one of these days could be the 3rd and the 7th, and we want to get the right 3rd day and the right 7th day. So therefore, we sprinkle on him all of those days. So now that's what the Gemara explains, is the difference in their opinion. The Sava Rabbi Yossi lo amrinan tevila bizmana mitzvah. Is it really true that Rabbi Yossi believes that Tefillah B'Zman is not a mitzvah? V'ha, Tanyo, we have a bright machlok between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, where it's pretty clear that Rabbi Yossi believes that Tefillah B'Zman is a mitzvah. Harei, Shaya Shem Katuv Al Bisaro. He has the Shem Hashem written on his arm. Now he has a problem, because the Shem Hashem, you're not allowed to be mochek, you're not allowed to erase it, you're not allowed to take it into a bathroom. So now he has the Shem Hashem written on him, what is he going to do? Harei Zeh Lo Yerchatz, this person cannot bathe himself, Lo Yisoch, and he can't anoint himself. And he can't stand in places where it's a sur to have machshavot ve'divrei Torah speak the Shem Hashem. If he has a chance to go to the mikveh, he has to go to the mikveh for whatever reason the Torah requires him to go to the mikveh, then korech alav gemi, he wraps around it a reed, v'tovel, and he goes into the mikveh. Now he uses a reed because the reed is porous and it can't tighten around the skin and therefore the water can get in, so it's not a problem of hefsek. But he has to take a preventative measure so that it doesn't get erased, so that it's not a pasig reshe. So it's not automatic that it gets erased. So he puts on this band and then goes into the mikveh. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yoreid B'Tovel Kidarko. He should go in the mikveh like normal. He doesn't have to take any preventative measures. Uvad Shlo Yishaf Sheif. As long as he doesn't intentionally rub it to take it off. B'Kaimalon, and we establish over there that Tevila B'Zmano B'Mitzvah Kamiflige. The machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi over there is about Tevila B'Zmano Mitzvah. Because Tanakama Savar Lo Amrinan Tevila B'Zmano Mitzvah, therefore you have to take the preventative measure of covering over the Shem Hashem, because you're not performing a mitzvah, so therefore you can't be doche the problem of Mechikat Hashem. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi Savar Amrinan Tevila B'Zmano Mitzvah. Since Tevila B'Zmano is mitzvah, you don't have to take any preventative measure, you can go into the mikveh without worrying about covering up the Shem Hashem. But you see from here that Rabbi Yossi believes Tevila B'Zmano is mitzvah, and you ascribe before to his position that he thinks Tevila B'Zman is lav mitzvah. Ella, the Gemara amends now their explanation of the machloket with a slight nuance, which is, Huli Alma Lahanitana E Amrinan Tevila B'Zman a mitzvah. Everybody agrees Tevila in its right time is a mitzvah. B'Holcha B'Hakim Mitzvah. This is their machloket. Rabbi Meir Savar Makshinan Hazal L'Tevila. Rabbi Meir says we make this hekesh. We extrapolate from Tevila to Hazah. Just like Tevila B'Zman is mitzvah, so too Hazah B'Zman is mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi Savar Lo Makshinan Hazal L'Tevila. We don't make a hekesh between Hazah and Tevila. Yes, Tevila B'Zman is mitzvah, but Hazah B'Zman is not a mitzvah. And that will explain the difference in their opinion over here. Rabbi Meir believes Hazah B'Zman is mitzvah, therefore you gotta do it all every day. To make see, maybe you'll come out on the right day when he needs that tahara, and that'll be a mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi says there's no Hazah B'Zman a mitzvah. And therefore, you do it once on the 3rd day, once on the 7th day, and you catch any type of tumah that you could possibly have without having to do it every day. There's no maila, there's no benefit in doing it every day, because there's no mitzvah to do hazah bizmana. And that's how we explain the machloket between them. Rabbi Deinu Tam points out over here, despite the fact that the Rabbeinu Chananel paskins that tefillah bizmana is a mitzvah, based on the fact that both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai say that, Rabbeinu Tam says tefillah bizmana lav mitzvahi. We today paskin that tefillah bizmana is not a mitzvah. And the greatest evidence of that is what we do, the Rebbe Nida today, which is that the women today, we're machmir on the women to say that not only are they nidot, but they're zavot gedolot min haTorah. And therefore they have to wait shiva nikiim. Now, if vila bizmana was mitzvah, you would create a big problem, or we would have to make the women go to the mikveh, which is that if they were really nidot midoraita, and they should go to the mikveh on the seventh day, and we're telling them, don't go on the seventh day because you're possibly a zavak dola and wait till after you have shiva nikiim, that means that you're giving up a chance at vila bizmana. The fact that the women only go to the mikveh once at the end of that period of time shows you that we don't think vila bizmana is mitzvah. Otherwise, we'd make them go to the mikveh at the end of the 7 days for Nida, and then we'd make them go again after the point in time of Shiva Nikiim for Zavah Gedolah. The fact that we don't do that shows you that Tfila Bizmano Lav Mitzvahi, and that's the way the Rabbeinu Tam paskins, that Tfila Bizmano Lav Mitzvahi. And even though our Gemara over here says Kuli Alma thinks that Tfila Bizmano Mitzvah, that's because the Gemara is forced that way in order to explain the machloki between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. But that doesn't mean that's what the Gemara believes. They're just trying to explain the bright or the machloki between them. Doesn't mean that that's the way they paskin the halacha. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Chinas Kana Konim. I don't understand. Now, they explain Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. How do you explain Rabbi Chinas Kana Konim? If he believes like Rabbi Meir that there is a hekesh between Hazan and Tvila, Afilo Koin be Yom HaKippurim Nami, then he should have to do it all the days, not just by the parah, but also by Yom HaKippurim. If he doesn't have the hekesh of Hazan Tvila like Rabbi Yossi, Afilo Koin HaSarefa Tapara Nami Lo, then why does he require you do it every day by the Koin HaSarefa Tapara? Gemara says, Lo'olam, lo mekish. Now, the Olam, he holds like Rabbi Yossi, that there is no hekish. Tvila bizmana mitzvah, hazab bizmana, lav mitzahi. Ah, then why does he require by the Kohen, hasurefet hapara, that he does it every one of the days? Kohen hasurefet hapara, ma'ilo ba'alma. That's a ma'ilo that we do by the Kohen hasurefet hapara. We've seen this many times, because the fact that he would be a tvul yom, we're going to make him into a tvul yom. Since we're going to make him into a tvul yom, we want to do other things that make it into a higher status of Tahara, and therefore we do it every day as a mailer for the Kohen Esrefa Tepara. So now the Gemara says, Kaman Azlaha de Tanu Rabbanan. This Braita that we have, who of the Tanaim here does this match with? En ben HaKohen Esrefa Tepara, the Kohen HaGadol b'Yom HaKippurim. There's no difference between the Kohen that prepares to be Seref Tepara Duma to the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. Elo, what is the difference between them? Shezeh Prishato L'Kedusha, V'Yachav HaGohanim Nogi'im Bo. This one, meaning Yom HaKippurim, he's Paresh Likdusha, and his brothers, the Kohanim, can't touch him, because this issue is not an issue of Tahara and Tumah, it's an issue of sequestering in order to go into the Machaneh Shechinah. As Rashi describes over here, Likanes the Machaneh Shechinah, that's why he's being sequestered. Shelo Yehei Libo Zachalav, so that he won't consider himself, he won't get full of himself, because he's the Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, Behei Nivdal Mikol Kalut Rosh. Shechala alav ima b'havdalato min abriyot. Because being in solitary confinement, in a sense, will take down his feelings, take down any sense of frivolity that would come from this, and make him think twice about why he is so great. We know this psychologically, that when a person's put into solitary confinement, that is a very demoralizing position to be in. And if a person wants to be boastful and wants to be haughty, it's really in the context of other people. So if you're not with other people, you don't really have that sense of haughtiness or greatness because you're alone. You're not with anybody else. So that's why we sequester the Kohen Gadol going into Yom HaKippurim in order to bring him into a more humble position in order that he is in a Makom Kiddusha. V'zeh Prishato L'Tahara. When it comes to the Kohen HaSarefa Tepara, the reason we're sequestering him is because of Tahara. We don't want him to become Tameh. V'ein Achav HaKohanim Nogim Bo. And therefore, he cannot interact with other Kohanim. Because, again, it's a milo that we have by para, we don't let him interact, so because maybe they're tamei and we'll make him tamei, or maybe one of them will pass away while they're interacting with him, so we keep him separate from contact with any of the other kohanim. So Gemara says, come on, oka Rabbi Meir, oka Rabbi Yossi. This is like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, because both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi don't segregate or differentiate between the Kohen Gadol going to Yom Kippur and the Kohen HaSarefa Tepara. Rabbi Yossi believes they only need it on the third and the seventh, and Rabbi Meir believes that they need it all of the days, both of them. Rabbi Chanina Askana Kohanim actually differentiates between them. And therefore, the Rabbi Chanina Askana Kohanim, Aika Namiha, you have an additional difference between them, which is the fact that the Kohen Gadol going to Yom Kippur only does it on the third and the seventh, and the Kohen going in to do Sarefa Parah does it on all of the days. And so because of that differential, it should have been mentioned in the Braita. The fact that it doesn't mention that difference tells you that that's not authored by Rabbi Chanina Askana Kohanim, it's either authored by Rabbi Meir or by Rabbi Yossi. Now, Tosafot asks, wait a minute, isn't there another difference between them? One is that the Kohen Gadol going to Yom Kippur is sequestered to Lishkat Parhedrin, whereas the Kohen going to be Sarefa Tepara is sequestered to Lishkat Beit HaEden. Why isn't that a difference? So he says two answers. One answer is Yeshlamar Deloka Khashivela Milto de Khashivuta Shesh Mila Bazemi Baza. They only mention things that are really a differential or a difference that has significance. The fact that he's in one room or the other room, that really doesn't have significance, and therefore it's not listed as a difference over here. Inami, he says, other possibility is that it's embedded in this difference between Kedusha and Tahara. The fact that the Kohen Gadol going into Yom Kippurim is sequestered for Kedusha, therefore he goes into Lishkat Baal Hedrin, which is in the Azara. Now the Binyan's Bechol, and the doorway opens up into the Azara. Since it opens into the Azara, it has the Kedusha to Azara. So that's what it means that he was segregated a Poresh the Kedusha versus by the Lishkat Evan, which is on Harabayit, and opens up into Harabayit only as the status of Harabayit. So that's the difference between the separation of the Kedusha and the separation Tahara. The area that we pick has that difference in Kedusha. Lishkat Palhedrin has Kedusha to Azara. Lishkat Beit Evan has the Kedusha of Harabayit. Now Tosafot over here deals with something that will come up again on Daf Yud. It also came up earlier with regards to his being sequestered with his wife, which is, how could it be that the Lishkat Palhedrin has Kedushat Azara? We know that the din with regards to Kedushat Azara is that only Malchei Beit David can sit down in the Azara. No one else can sit. And here the Kohen Gadol is going to sleep in this room. So how could it have Kedushat Azara and he could be sleeping in there? So Tosafot either says, maybe it doesn't have Kedushat Azara, and it really opens up into the Chol. It opens up into the Chol, and therefore it doesn't have Kedushat Azara. But because of its placement of where it is like it has Kedushat Azara, even though it doesn't. Or he says the other possibility is that it does have Kedushat Azara, but it's a different type of Kedushat Azara. Since the Binyan, since the Lishkat Palhedrin is in Chol, just because its door opens to the Azara, it has a din of Kedushat Azara, that Kedushat Azara is only Chalkit, it's only partial. It has Kedushat Azara that you can eat Bodshei Kodashim there, but it doesn't have the Kedushat Azara that you're not allowed to lay down there, sit down there. It doesn't have the full-fledged Kedusha of the Azara. And that's how he tries to explain or work out what the din of the Kedushat Lishkat Palhedrin is. Before, Tosafot discussed this with regards to putting his wife there, that obviously he can't have his wife there because he's on Harabayit, and that maybe the Gemara's suggestion back there was to put him into Mechilot, something that opens up, a tunnel that opens up at the Harabayit and Chol, that would have a din of Chol, and a Balkari could go there. But over here, where he's in Lishkat Palhedrin, certainly he shouldn't be able to be together with his wife because of this Kedusha. And again, Tosafot does not like that second answer that he gives because he believes that there's no yeshiva in these rooms, even if they're just open to the Azara, even if they're benuyot b'chol and open to the Azara, he thinks they have full-fledged status of the Azara. And so because of that, he has to use the first answer, which is that it must have been that Lishkat Palhedrin was open to chol and had a status of chol and not kedushat ha-Azara. If you do that, then there's no difference between Beit HaEvan and Lishkat Palhedrin. Their location makes a difference, but they're both p'tuchot harabayit, and they have the same status, which is that they're both rooms that have kedushat harabayit. Okay, now the Gemara says, Matkifla Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina. Bishlomo, I want to understand why you have to sprinkle on the Kohen Gadol, going into Yom Kippur, according to Rabbi Meir, and for the Parah, according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Chanina's Kana Goyim, every single day. I understand, Rishon, why would you have to sprinkle him on the first day of his sequestering Shema Shlishi? Because maybe it's the third day of his Tumah, since he came into contact with Tumat Meit, Sheni. Also, the second day, Shema Shlishi. Again, maybe it's the third day that he came into contact with Tumat Meit, Shlishi. Also, the third day, Shema Shlishi. Maybe it's the third day. Now, maybe it's the third day in the sense that he became Tamei Meit right before he entered into sequester, and therefore his third day is the third day that he's found in the sequester. Chamishi, I understand why he does on the fifth day, Shema Shvi'i. Maybe that's the seventh day. Meaning that if the first day was his third day of Tumah, then his seventh day would be on the fifth day of his sequester. Shishi, Shema Shvi'i. The sixth day, I understand, because that also could be his seventh day. Meaning if day two was day three for him from Tumah, then day six is the seventh day after he became Tamei. Shvi, on the seventh day, Shema Shvi. Maybe it's the seventh day. If his third day of the sequester was his third day from Tumah, then the seventh day is the seventh day of Tumah. Then he goes to the mikveh, and then Tvul Yom, and he becomes Tor that night because of Harav Shemesh. El Revi, Lamalei Azaklau. Why does he have to get sprinkled on whatsoever on the fourth day? Lo b'shlishi ikal esvukei, v'lo b'shvi ikal esvukei. There's no reason to believe it's the third day of his Tumah. There's no reason to believe that it's the seventh day of his Tumah. Can't be the third day of his Tumah, because we assume once he was sequestered that he didn't become Tamei Meit. If that's the case, then to be the third day on Yom Rivi'i that he's in the sequester means that he has to become Tamei Meit before that point while he was in sequester, and that we don't suspect. Seventh day, doesn't matter if it's the seventh day because he didn't sprinkle on the third day to get to be the seventh day. He would have to have sprinkled the day before he got into sequester to make this the seventh day. So the fourth day has no relevance. So Mary says, Tamei Chazak Ol Shiva Mi'ika? Wait a minute. First of all, who says you can do Chazak all 7 days anyway? Vakayim Elon. Chazak Shvut. We have a principle that Chazak is an Isser Drabanan. And it's a shvut that the Chachamim are ma'amid, even b'makom karet, that we saw back in the Gemara in Pesachim, that if someone needs hazan, it's every Pesach is Shabbat, we're not doche the Shabbat to do this shvut. This is a shvut that applies even in the Mikdash. Ve'enu doche the Shabbat. And we don't override Shabbat. And by definition, if he's sequestered for 7 days, he's going to cross over Shabbat, and you can't do the sprinkling on Shabbat. So ma'it l'chal ha'meimar. So what are you going to say? Shiva the bar mi Shabbat. So when we say here he's going to be sprinkled on all 7 days, it means 7 days minus Shabbat. So hachanami shiva the bar mi revi'i. So when it says here he's going to be sprinkled all 7 days, it doesn't literally mean 7 days. It means why is in sequester? Every day we can or necessary, we will do it. So every day you can means besides Shabbat. Every day that's necessary means every day besides the fourth day. Amar Rava Hilkach. Therefore, Kohen Gadol ve Yom HaKippurim delo b'didan tal yomilto. Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim, we don't have control over this. We don't have control over this because he goes in on Gimel Tishrei no matter what. That's when he goes into sequester, and we don't know what day of the week it is. It has to do with when Rosh Chodesh comes out. Now, we have some control. We can move it a day here or there, but we can't control what day of the week totally that it will come out on, and therefore we're subject to the calendar. Therefore, he goes in on Gimel Tishrei without any consideration. So then, Betzalat Tishrei, by the Frushe, he goes in there. Whatever day of the week it falls out on, that's when he goes into sequester. And if it happens to be that the fourth day coincides with Shabbat, great. If not, he's going to skip 2 days of being sprinkled on. When it comes to the Kohen HaSreifat HaPara, there we control when he goes into sequester. There's no fixed time for the Sreifat HaPara. Since there's no fixed time for Sreifat HaPara, then we can determine when he goes into sequester. Therefore, Mefashin Leber Vi B'Shabbat. We force him to go into sequester starting on a Wednesday, always on a Wednesday. That the fourth day will fall out on Shabbat. Those days will coincide. The fourth day, where he doesn't need Hazah, will coincide with Shabbat, where he can't do Hazah. And that means that all the Kohanim who are Sreifat HaPara, Sreifat HaPara, we took place on a Wednesday. He was sequestered the Wednesday before. 7 days reaches the following Tuesday, and then on Wednesday they do Sreifat HaPara. So they'd always do Sreifat HaPara on a Wednesday in order that the sequester should start on a Wednesday, and it would fall out that the fourth day of his sequester would fall out and coincide with Shabbat, so that he would only miss 1 day of Hazah, because that would be the day of Revi, when he didn't need to do Hazah anyway. Okay, we'll stop over here.